the ability to sit there with a client, watch them emotionally react to what they're seeing on the screen, to be able to, you know, stress test the plan and hey, let's talk about these things sometimes we don't like to talk about. Well, what if this happened? How would your plan still fare? And is it still on track and is it still okay? Those were things that even when we were, like I said, dealing with early versions of eMoney, we were trying to accomplish.
The heart of advice. It's personal. It's pragmatic. Here on the eMoney Heart of Advice podcast, we explore how to navigate both sides to help you take your financial planning practice to the next level. Join us as we speak with financial professionals to learn how they deepen relationships and improve client outcomes. This podcast contains purely educational information, and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor or any of its affiliates or subsidiaries.
Welcome to the Heart of Advice podcast, presented by eMoney. I'm Sasha Grabensitter.
And I'm Connor Sung. We're your eMoney experts. Today, we're joined by Matt Schulte. Matt, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
And congratulations on your 25th anniversary.
Well, thank you. It has been an interesting ride over 25 years, and I'm really glad that we have an opportunity to sit and chat like this. We work together every day, but don't often get a chance in this kind of setting to have this kind of conversation, so appreciate it.
Yeah, it makes it fun. Just real quickly, Matt is the head of financial planning at eMoney Advisor. He is an original employee of eMoney. Matt is the leader of our financial planning group, of which Sasha and I both work in. Mm-hmm. He supports our teams in product and research as well as practice management. Matt is a certified financial planner. He is a chartered financial consultant and a chartered life underwriter. Matt, we definitely want to hear about your experiences with eMoney. We will get there, I promise you. But can you talk a little bit about before, some of the career pathing, some of the things that helped shape your journey leading up to joining eMoney?
Sure. It has been 25 years, so to be perfectly honest, there weren't a whole lot of experiences and roles prior to eMoney. But I'll start just by talking about college a little bit. I was a college dropout. I started college right out of high school and within one quarter realized it was not for me. I was not ready at that point to go to college and give it what it's due, which is focus and attention. Plenty of friends were doing it and having fun, but I wanted to make sure that if I did it the right way. And so I stopped, went out, worked, got myself an apartment. A few years later, I met the woman who would become my wife. And that creates a lot of focus for you. And so in thinking about wanting to start a life, wanting to build a life with that person, that gave me the focus that I needed to then go back to school. Went back to school, University of Minnesota. I'm a native of Minnesota, born and bred, and graduated from their business school and took my first job after graduating with Prudential Insurance. Okay. So Prudential had several offices in my area, and I worked for Prudential Select Brokerage, which was an outfit that worked kind of with policies and solutions meant for business owners, for estate planning, a lot of high-end second-to-die policies. And so that's where I learned the business, and I just happened to be there a few years later, obviously still there. They started a new joint venture between Prudential Insurance and Prudential Securities. Prudential Securities was the wirehouse for Prudential with branches all across the country. And they started this project up in order to do some insurance and estate planning in those offices. They wanted to bring those services to those end consumers. And Again, I was fortunate enough to be in the right spot and took a position with that when it presented itself. And so for a few years was doing just that, doing insurance and estate planning for regional folks who would then deliver that inside of those branches. That's where I met the founder of eMoney. In the spring of 2000, he asked me to come out to Pennsylvania and take a look at what he had started to put together. So he'd raised some money from his clients, by the way. Interesting. he was a financial advisor with business owner clients predominantly. And so he raised the original angel investment to start eMoney from those clients. So he brought me out, explained to me what his vision was and what he was thinking, the small team he'd put together. Day one, there was seven of us. And, you know, interestingly, I'm sitting in what was our office building. It was kind of some donated space in a Sun Life insurance agency. That's what we used initially, with kind of shag carpeting. quintessential kind of startup kind of environment. But I had noticed he'd had my name written on a board and assigned like other folks to certain tasks. And I'm like, we haven't started yet. I haven't said yes yet. And he knew he had me as soon as he offered it. So started with eMoney on our day one in June of 2000. Told my wife that it would only be 3 years. We'll be back in 3 years, honey. Don't worry about it. And here I am 25 years later. So, mm-hmm. Like I said, it's been an interesting ride.
I want to know more about the room where it happened. So, like those early days, what was it like? The nitty gritty of every day, kind of starting eMoney. That's what I want to know about next.
Yeah. Like I was saying, we had this donated space above an insurance agency, literally what I like to refer to as a nine iron away from our current office, right there in Radnor, literally around the corner. Everything comes full circle eventually. And so, you know, in those early days, in those early years, quite honestly, you do a little bit of everything, right? You know, there were times when I was, you know, building presentations. There were other times when we had our first versions where I was training or I was working with the development folks to develop what's next. So you just get used to, in those small new startup environments, just doing a little bit of everything. And we'd have these big notepads and we would sketch out, in essence, small little whiteboards, sketch out what we thought might be a part of the platform eventually, because you got all kinds of ideas at that point. Really early on, we didn't have developers as employees. We had contractors that we used to build out early versions of what we did. It's the only startup I've ever been a part of, but it feels to me like it's kind of that quintessential startup environment where you're working a lot. But it's also invigorating because you're all you can do is envision, you know, getting that first client, getting those first advisors, and making a difference in what they do and how they deliver advice.
Yeah, with time and capacity being really your only constraints.
Exactly.
Can you think of a couple of early decisions, strategic, cultural, technical, that you feel like have had a long-lasting impact on eMoney's growth and evolution?
Yeah, there have been a few. I think, one of the first ones was some of our early thoughts around a business model was actually around giving the software away and having advisors put their business through eMoney. So we had a limited broker dealer, eMoney Securities. I actually had to you know, pass the Series 24 exam and be the registered principal for that. And so in those early days, there was that kind of idea. And we quickly made the decision to move away from that. I think that that was natural. That wasn't necessarily our core competencies. Mm-hmm. That I think probably the clients and or enterprises who we were approaching probably didn't look too kindly. They don't want to compete with us for the business of, yeah, of their advisors. And so we moved away from that. Another decision I think that was really important was really just defining the three-legged stool that to this day is still our platform. What are the three core pieces of what we do and have done for the last 24 years? And that's planning, obviously. That's a full experience client portal. Mm-hmm. And that's account aggregation. And back then, account aggregation was in its infancy. And so the decision there to have that be part, a critical part of what we do, because the idea was, how is financial planning going to be different? Well, if your financial plan is live, if it's updated every night, that is a differentiating quality. And so we had an early vendor named UMonitor that was our account aggregation partner. But then I'll just fast forward it just a little bit further, probably, oh boy, I could be wrong here in dates a little bit, but probably in that 2005, 2006 area, where account aggregation was becoming too critical to what we did, to outsource that, to have that be a partnership. Mm. We needed to bring that in-house and create a core competency internally for that particular function. So for the main relationships with our enterprise clients and with our advisors, we wanted to pull as much of that data in on our own, so that we could kind of be in control of our destiny. I got one more for you, because I do think that it was just really important in people understanding who we were and what we were trying to do at eMoney. And I'll also confess, I did not agree at all with the pursuit of this strategy, just to be perfectly transparent. And that's just, that's just, I think, me and my experiences or lack thereof. But we decided to build celebrity narrated videos.
I did see this, yes.
Yes, so we had voices from Donald Sutherland to his son Kiefer Sutherland, Tom Selleck, Diane Lane, Ian McKellen. They all recorded videos that really focused on our client portal. And that was intentional, because we would brand those videos, and it told the story so well of what eMoney is, the value proposition of eMoney, why it works for advisors, and most importantly, why it worked for end consumers. And the fact that you could have advisors hearing a voice they know, you know, that celebrity, whether it's Tom Selleck or whether it's Sutherland, and that happening while they have their logo being sprawled across the screen. In essence, it was like that celebrity was endorsing their firm, but it was really talking to the product. It was talking to the platform of capabilities. And just from a ability to get out there in market and communicate without having to have an eMoney person there to do it, the video did all the talking. And it was just a really powerful tool at that stage in our development to get out there and to create buzz and to create, you know, people would just share it around. And so it had a life of its own once it got out there. So again, it was incredibly expensive to get those voices at an early stage company. And me being the fiscally conservative planner amongst, I was like, why would we spend all that money for that? I was dead wrong, especially in how advisors would take to it. Advisors would respond to it. It was a really important decision.
I want to transition just a little bit because you talked a lot about our users. And I just want to know, like, from the advisor's perspective, how has eMoney kind of evolved and changed, like, especially from those early days? We've talked to a few advisors on the podcast already about their experiences, and I would just love to hear it from your perspective.
Well, yeah, I mean, the differences in planning technology from the late 90s, 2000 to what it is today, to me, it's night and day, right? I mean, planning in many respects was still a bit of a niche thing back then. Mm-hmm. It was not connected to any other technologies. You got in, you got out. Many advisors didn't even go into it, right? They would have people in their office go in and build this plan or do this, but they wouldn't actually get into the technology oftentimes. You would enter data quickly, you would spit something out, and that's really where planning was. And quite honestly, you know, some of the proprietary tools that were out there, either the organizations like Lincoln, who had built their own set of planning capabilities, or even the spreadsheets some advisors had built, in many respects, back in 2000 when we started, those were better than some of the things on the market. But they also required things to be updated by disk or other things like that, so that they only had a certain shelf life. But now, planning is strategic. Whether you're talking about the advisor who needs to position planning to a broader set of their clients, or whether you're talking about larger firms and enterprises who need kind of a strategy towards how do we scale planning and offer it across our organization at different levels, because they've got to deal with different capabilities and different abilities for their field forces. And so to me, there's a night and day difference. Now, planning is oftentimes, certainly at eMoney, bundled with, you know, kind of other core capabilities that go along with it, whether you're talking about analytics, whether you're talking about a robust client portal. I'm not talking about a place where you can go look at your plan. I'm talking about a place that kind of organizes mm-hmm. your financial life. Those are, that's where planning is today. And that is, it's, like I said, it's more strategic, but it's something that that organizations know they have to do, and they know that it's successful. The metrics anywhere that we go, Connor, you know this as well as anybody, the metrics for organizations that have planning as the foundation of their offering are through the roof, because it really sets them up for the future, getting them early and then keeping them long term as clients.
And really building those, it's holistic planning is what it is, really, is in incorporating all the pieces you talked about, the aggregation, the client portal, all of that. So we're just getting better at being holistic.
At being holistic, but then also, I think, integratable, right? Mm-hmm. Today, the value of data from a planning engagement is so powerful. You've got the aggregated data of all of their stuff, wherever it is, and then you've got the results from planning. And so the ability to send that information to different places, to other tools. It's one thing to be able to connect to another system from an integration standpoint. But when you can meaningfully pass data bidirectionally, that's where things sing. And so to me, that's another big example of I'll use the term again, night and day things are. I mean, when I was doing planning in the mid 90s, it was a book, mm-hmm. and now you can give a client an interactive, engaging experience that really helps get them the buy-in that you want from clients when they can actively participate and engage that way.
Definitely. It's cool you've been able to experience. I even in the 12, 13 years that I've worked with you, never thought about your perception of or perspective of kind of the evolution of technology. Obviously, we talk a lot about the evolution of advice and the evolution of the financial professional. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think there's some aspect of technology that's pushing the quality and the quantity of advice. I think that there's an aspect of consumer expectations looking for a little bit more personalized advice. And mm-hmm. yeah. I think we're all kind of intertwined in this upward movement of better and more actual advice being delivered in a more holistic or more individualized way.
Agreed.
As you think about that evolution of the technology, you talked about the three-legged stool, you brought up aggregation. If you could touch on the other two legs, and then as you think about a part of the platform, if you could identify one, or if it's all three legs, since it is a stool, one that has the biggest impact on advisors day to day.
I'll pick one. It is one of the three. And it's always been something that I thought we kind of were groundbreaking in, continue to evolve today. And that's, you know, not just planning, which is one leg of the stool, but an interactive planning engagement. Really changing the paradigm from Mr. and Mrs. Client, here's this book, let's all refer to page 4 where we can review this or look at this chart. And instinctively, we knew day one that that was archaic, that was, okay, that's what it is, but what should it be? What could it be? From the very earliest iterations of our planning capabilities, we wanted the ability for the advisor to be able to live in the tool with the client. Mm-hmm. It's not something that they just generate a book from and bind it and hand it to their client, but that they can really engage in the tool. And so even our earliest versions of the Advanced Planning Center, which now has evolved into Decision Center, we made sure that we put all of the capabilities that would be necessary to have that planning discussion, to have that interactive, engaging conversation. Because your ability to sit with a client with something that moves in real time, as opposed to, again, referring to static information on a page, and if you got that information wrong, it's useless even sitting there in front of you. So, you know, the ability to sit there with a client, watch them emotionally react to what they're seeing on the screen, to be able to, you know, stress test the plan and hey, let's talk about these things sometimes we don't like to talk about. Well, what if this happened? How would your plan still fare? And is it still on track and is it still okay? Those were things that even when we were, like I said, dealing with early versions of eMoney, we were trying to accomplish. We were trying to create that environment where they could interact that way. And the analogy I always use here, I've used it in presentations over the years, is an architect. And if you're sitting down with some clients and an architect looking at the plans for your dream home, for example, you want, in a financial planning sense, that same ability to say, well, what if we knock down that wall? Or what if we put that room on the other side of the house? You want them to engage, and you want them to be a part of the decision making, because if you can get them to engage and you can get them to be part of the decision making, the buy-in is there. You've got a much better chance of executing on those recommendations and getting them to follow through when they're a part of the process. Mm-hmm. The interactivity of planning in today's technology, and specifically with eMoney, I think is really important and critical.
But relating that back to just our culture and our teams, our kind of way of eMoney life,
right.
Can you talk a little bit about how you've seen building teams, building strong, sustainable, long-lasting groups, and how some of those dynamics can help influence aspects of innovation?
Sure. So while the financial planning group isn't the biggest group at eMoney, you know, over 25 years, done plenty of hiring and observed plenty of hiring, I guess one thing I would say really important to growing and building the right kind of team is take your time when you're hiring. Don't just fill a seat. Get it right, get the right person. And by the way, wherever possible, take an internal person. An internal person who's a known commodity, that's what you want. You know what you're gonna get. I wanna encourage people to try things out.
Yeah.
And I wanna encourage people to think, to your point about innovation, to not feel constrained because they've got this overlord looking over them saying, well, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that. I think it's really important to give people the space to succeed or fail. And by the way, I don't consider failure an exclusively bad thing. You learn a lot. And again, we learned a lot in those early years of eMoney from failure or from things that didn't go the way we thought it would go. There's incredible learnings there. You hire good people, you trust your gut, you trust, and you encourage people to trust their experience, right? So when you've got a team that you respect and you rely on, you want to give them every chance to kind of come up with those ideas, to explore those new avenues, those new ideas, and do so in a way where they don't feel like if something doesn't work out that, oh, that's the end. You really want to reinforce that kind of environment. And, you know, working somewhere for 25 years, you also experience a lot of personal life creeping into work life, right? You can't avoid that. That happens. And so giving people the space and the grace to deal with whatever they got to deal with and make sure they know that okay, at this point in time, work is secondary. You got to deal with this. I mean, that comes back and that pays dividends for you long term because people remember that. I've been on that end of things, and I'm forever grateful for those opportunities and that much more loyal to where I'm at and who I'm working with and for. So, it's. There's no particular roadmap, but I'm a big believer in kind of the coaching and the consultative route as a leader, as a manager, trying to shape and guide, not trying to define and have edicts or anything like that.
I just want to chime in here. You know that Connor has been with eMoney for 12 years. So yeah. He had 12, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, just making sure. That, you know, you've been able to watch his failures. That's why I think you were laughing earlier. But also, you know, see his growth and potential and become a wonderful manager who does the things that you say that are important to have loyal, wonderful coworkers. So kudos to you and kudos to Connor.
Again, but I think if you create an environment like I was talking about, people want to stay there. They want to be a part of it. They want to see what's next. It doesn't mean that at some point they aren't going to get to a spot where they need to move on and they need to explore other avenues. I think in our group, our average tenure is something around 11 years, which I think in today's day and age is noteworthy.
Yeah. Kind of in the same vein, you know, it's been 25 years for you.
Yeah.
And we have some other questions to like pull this out a little more, but I want to know like what's the most memorable moment or memory that you have over the last 25 years?
Well, I don't think it's a moment or even two. There's a host of things, right? I mean, I have gotten to visit with and meet a huge number of advisors. I mean, traveling all over the country, and you know, all of them have their unique story and their way in which they're using e-money. And so just that collective kind of experience of meeting all of these different folks, all with a similar mission, but all doing it just a little bit different, is you know, those things stick in my head. Especially early on, we had a lot of folks who we called advisory board members. So just some great experiences, not just meeting advisors like I was talking about earlier, but sitting down and talking to them more in depth, getting their feedback in those early stages around the platform and what it needed to do and why it needed to shift. These were exceptional advisors who we were able to cull together and bring one or two times a year together to really help us build and shape what the product became. And so, you know, those experiences were unbelievably formative in what we would ultimately build and what we would ultimately become. And then I'll bring up one other one, and this is more personal. As I was saying, did so much traveling in those early years, but I had this map in the basement, and every time I'd come home from a trip, and you know, my girls were 3 and 9 months when e-money started. Mm-hmm. So they were growing up all through there. And so every time I'd come home, we'd go down to the basement and we'd take this map and we'd put pins in all the places that Dad had just visited. And that map got pretty full. There weren't too many corners of the country that I wasn't able to go out and see and meet those advisors and, you know, evangelize on behalf of e-money.
E-money by advisors for advisors.
That was the early tagline, and some other folks we brought into the organization had that background, and that really was powerful when you talked with advisors, because it's one thing to be sold by a technology company who's got an interest in selling you this technology. It's another thing to have a technology company run by an advisor who understands the struggles, who understands what it's like to have a book of clients and what you have to do to stand out and grow. So, mm-hmm. Built by advisors for advisors was one of our early taglines.
Okay. Which is so cool. Another meaningful milestone that eMoney is celebrating is, this is 10 years since the Fidelity acquisition.
Yeah.
Could you just talk a little bit about going from day one, where you wore all these different hats, you had, you know, 10 different roles, you were on the road all the time, to being acquired by one of the largest and most well-known brands in financial services?
Yeah. Nervousness was, I think it's fair to say, what one of the sentiments I had. Because, you know, you read all these stories about acquisitions and culture changing and all of those things. For those of us at eMoney at that time, I think it was understood that we had a unique culture. It was part of why we were able to be successful, and really wanting that to stay the same. I think there were similar questions from our users, from our advisors, mm-hmm. From the industry more broadly. I think there were articles at the time, what's gonna happen with eMoney? I'm paraphrasing, but that was the sentiment. Is Fidelity going to only allow them to serve these kinds of clients, or what are they gonna do with the data? Or again, just questions, natural kinds of questions. My experience through that time, since that time, has all been incredibly positive. I mean, they have, for the most part, kind of just led us to continue pursuing the vision, pursuing our ideas as we see fit. We've got a board that helps us, and the attitude is typically, what can we do to help? How can we help further what you're trying to do? Never once has it been kind of heavy-handed in any kind of way. So, you know, I lay the fact that I'm still here kind of squarely on that reality. I don't know that I would be if it had gone a different direction. But we still have a culture that I think is indicative of a technology company, which is what we want and would foster the innovation that we've talked about as well.
Mm-hmm. I think we still own the Segways and the ping pong tables and some of the stuff when we had larger offices that I think yep. most of our advisors that would have joined us in an in-person training or something like that, any reason to come to the office had got to experience. Whether they rode the Segways or not, it's a different story. But
right. Well, and you know, Connor, it's a great point because I always thought that was such a powerful thing to have when we would bring clients in. When you're talking about those big organizations, those big enterprises, and they're thinking about making an incredibly large commitment to a technology provider, coming to our offices, seeing that, seeing how a technology company operates, getting them over the hump of thinking, oh, we could just do this, couldn't we? Couldn't we kind of take care of this and build this on our own? This is what we do. Let us do what we do. And I think it was really powerful for organizations to see that and kind of help get them to a place where they were more comfortable, again, partnering with us, but having that clear divide between what the technology provides and then what the home office is, how it utilizes it in working with its field force.
Yeah, which is, I think it also speaks volumes to what's happening in the financial services industry right now as far as mergers and acquisitions go. I feel like most of, you know, the fintech world has found its home for the most part. There's a little bit of shuffling at this point and some new niche planning topic-based softwares, but I think a lot of financial professionals are going to find themselves either being acquired by a larger institution or merging with different companies to be able to stay competitive and offer competitive services. So there's light on the other side.
There is, and like I said, I have nothing but good things to say about how we've been able to kind of continue to operate, like I said, pursue our passions, pursue our vision and our roadmap in a way that's just full of encouragement from the Fidelity side.
I want to switch gears just a little bit because in the 25 years celebration that we are having this year, it's also another celebration of 10 years of our university program. And so for those who don't know, the university program really helps foster university students to learn the software, kind of get their hands dirty in it, and then move forward. So I just wanted to ask you, how did it start? What was the idea? Where did we, and how did we get here?
Yeah, a program very kind of dear to my heart. It was a program that we developed inside of our group. Really, I was thinking no more strategically than we can utilize this to create awareness and appreciation for e-money for the financial advisors, for the financial planners of the future. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't we, in the same way we provide demo access to people who are thinking about buying e-money, in essence, let's do longer term demo access for these folks. Students who go through some of these planning programs and really give them an opportunity to get familiar with, to get comfortable with e-money, maybe influence buying decisions down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, from when I went to college some 30 plus years ago, there's just been an explosion in these programs.
Yes.
You know, they're everywhere. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we've worked with over 150 schools at this point in time over that 10 years. We've got thousands of enrolled students. We've got we built a companion certification program. So Yes. You don't just get experience with the tool. You can come out with something physical that you can put on your resume and say, hey, I'm comfortable. I am fluent in e-money, which again, helps them be attracted to firms that are looking for that skill set. So I wish, you know, that there was you know, a financial planning program that I could have enrolled in back when I was in college. And the fact that they've got them, you know, at the bachelor's level, at the master's level, just in certification programs, you know, is to me great. And I hope at some point, I've been approached by a couple of schools asking me to teach in their programs. I could definitely see that being a part of a retirement plan for myself, where I'm working with one or more of those programs. I would really love to see a technology course created for those programs, yeah, because I think that is a blind spot today in the typical financial planning curriculum, and it plays such an important role. But yeah, I mean, anything that we can do to position e-money with kind of next gen opportunities, I think is really important. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't just apply this and provide that access just to universities. I mean, there are other folks who are approaching us and saying, can we leverage your technology in a similar way, correct?
Yeah, so we partnered with the Amplified Planning Externship. Yep. This is year number 6 with them. Started, you know, in COVID when internships were really hard to find. So Hannah Moore and FPA initially created the externship, and Hannah's continued it on. And I think they're shooting for 2,000 people this year to enroll in that program.
That's great.
Right now, I think there's 1,200 for sure. But it's a...
And eMoney is the exclusive,
planning technology. Yes, yeah. Yes.
That's
and
great.
Just to piggyback on what you said, you know, like the way I found out about eMoney is because the school I went to had a technology course. So it was one of the very few times I got to like see a bunch of different technologies and actually play inside of it. Now, the certification wasn't available when I went to school, but you know, now that we have that opportunity, not only the certificate, but also the digital badge that they can put on LinkedIn, it's been really powerful. So yeah.
That's great. Love it.
I was like, I'm going to transition just a little bit.
Yeah.
You've been with eMoney for 25 years.
Yes.
It's a rare thing to have somebody be there for so long. So tell me, what kept you at eMoney? What's the secret, I guess?
I mean, there's certainly a bit of, it's your baby. It's this thing you've seen from day one. All through the years, and so you're eager to see what's next. It's very hard to imagine yourself somewhere else. Again, I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic, so that kind of stuff resonates with me, maybe more so than it would others. But yeah, it is when you've rolled over out of bed every morning for 25 years and eMoney has been kind of a part of that, it is hard to imagine anything else. But I also, you know, we were just talking about the Fidelity relationship. If that had gone a different direction, I don't doubt that maybe I would have moved on. But I also think when you combine that long history with just really great people that you work with day in and day out, people who are passionate about similar things, that those are all incredible draws, and I can honestly say I never really seriously considered anything else. You know, I got to a point where I was like, yeah, you know what, I think I'd like to end my career, whenever that is, at eMoney.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you, number one, for sticking around for 25 years. And thank you for bringing your perspective, your style, your approach, your everything. It's definitely made a meaningful difference in my life personally. I think I speak on behalf of anyone that has had the opportunity to work closely with you over the 25 years. You are a pleasure to work with, Matt.
Appreciate it.
So as you reflect on 25 years and you think about eMoney's next 25 years, I think we talked a little bit about the evolution of advice, a little bit of the evolution of technology. I think obviously I would be also remiss if I didn't at least just say AI. So AI is...
AI. We have to mention it X number of times. That's fine.
So AI is coming. What do you think the technology, what role will it play as a part of financial planning in the next 25?
A massive role. The technology is going to be leveraging the AI and delivering it to our users, our advisors. So I think, I should start by saying that I think it's going to have a significant impact on the evolution of advice, maybe most notably on the ability to scale advice to people where maybe, they aren't profitable in the traditional route, but if you can leverage technology, leverage AI, maybe you can make larger segments of the population affordable for advisors to work with and deliver advice through. At the same time, I think, sometimes there are predictions out there about what AI is going to do and all of that. And I oftentimes encourage people to pump the brakes a little bit, just because I think, there is so much oversight and regulation around the delivery of advice. It's not going to be as quick as AI can be impactful in other industries where you don't have that. So when you combine the regulatory and you combine, compliance departments at all of these different organizations who all maybe view things slightly differently, I think the ability to kind of get that 180 degree huge impact from AI is just going to be slower. Again, need to underscore, it's going to come. I think it's a matter of time, but I think it will be a little bit slower. So I think our job at eMoney is to think about how can we help advisors become more efficient? How can we help their respective financial planning processes that they've built and developed? How can we help them make those more efficient? And look across that whole spectrum, whether it's the data entry part of the process, whether it's plan development, whether it's plan delivery, plan monitoring, taking a look at all of those and determining, how best we can help facilitate that to get to some of that scale that I was talking about. I think it's important to be on the lookout for, maybe some cheap fake attempts at advice through AI, and just be on the lookout for stuff masquerading as advice, analyzing large data sets and thinking that that's all there is to being able to come up with advice for people. We've talked about personalization a little bit already. To do the work that advisors do, there's so much that is gleaned from those planning conversations, from those interactions you have with a client, nuanced, complex details that I just think is also going to be a little harder to try to manage and leverage AI to be overly accurate with that kind of advice. But clearly, technology can be smarter. It can be more of an assistant. It can surface things, generate ideas, thoughts, nudges. And that's where I would expect technology to make some of its first forays into AI and kind of changing the way advice is delivered.
Which is cool. You talked a little bit early on with eMoney that you guys had evaluated a few different business models for what became a software as a service business. And I look at one of the opportunities that AI will develop or force is this evolution of advice business models into something other than the traditional AUM model that exists today, because there will be scale, there will be all sorts of other things. But I do totally want to underscore and agree with the fact that we are, as an industry, slow to adopt technology, or slow to adopt really any changes, but in particular technology, and especially yep. where there's less human engagement. We as a company believe that there is no advice without an advisor, and that you talked about it, but again, just reinforcing the technology is there to enable, to enhance, to empower, not to supplement. It's not or, it's both.
Right. No, agreed. We're firm believers at eMoney of the critical role that advisors play, and you know, as technology has evolved over the years, advisors adapt, organizations adapt to leverage it in the best way, the most effective way they can. And I would view this no differently. The demise of the advisor has been predicted many times, and so I think some of those headlines are natural, but I for reasons we've already discussed, I think that's a little hasty, and we should, again, we at eMoney should be exploring every opportunity we can to help them leverage it in a way that furthers their business objectives.
I might be biased when I say this because I sit more on the thought leadership side, but not only does the technology do what it needs to do, but as a company, we really are pushing forward these human-centric interpersonal skills and really trying to help advisors be the best advisor they can be. So it's pretty powerful.
It is. And I'm also a big fan of this idea that the better you know your client, the better you understand their reactions to money and their fears and their, their money decisions. Mm-hmm. That will pay all kinds of dividends down the road, and it makes for better advice, because when you know those things, you're able to make those subtle small distinctions where, you know, this client might look a lot like that client, but you know what? If you really understand them, you realize that they're not as much like them as you think.
Agreed.
Yeah.
As we are starting to kind of transition toward the end of the podcast, I want to know what you would think is, if you could summarize eMoney's impact on the financial planning industry in one sentence, what would it be?
One sentence.
As much as you can.
So, I will do you one better.
Okay.
One word.
Okay.
I've used it a couple of times, I think, already. Engagement. eMoney, from the very beginning, we were looking for features and capabilities that would bring the advisor in, that would encourage them to engage in the technology, because in years prior, they didn't. They were handed output from a system. Mm-hmm. They weren't oftentimes in the technology. And so we were always looking for features that would draw them in and get them to engage in the technology. Similarly on the client side. I mean, at the end of the day, that's why we built the client portal that we did. We didn't want just an environment where you could log in and look at your plan. We wanted an environment that helped an end consumer organize their financial life. whether it's their documents or all their accounts or their transactions. We wanted an environment that encouraged people to go visit it, that informed them in a way that technology hadn't before. Mm-hmm. And then with the interactive planning that we talked about earlier, you're getting people to engage. A client who's engaged, a part of a plan instead of the recipient of a plan. It's just so much more meaningful on the back end. And so it wasn't a sentence, it was a word, but I do think engagement kind of fits and probably does a better job than any sentence I could come up with. Sorry.
No, you're fine. One word is good. And e-money engagement, I mean, mm-hmm. we love alliteration here, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're there? Do you feel like we're there? Like, looking back, it's, you know, over 25 years, if engagement is the word that I would say, like, the North Star, do you feel like we're there? We're almost there?
We're on the way to there. I guess I'm not a believer that you ever get there, wherever there is, you're pursuing there. I think we get it. I think we are pushing towards the right destination, and we have just a tremendous group of people across the organization and their respective disciplines. Again, all committed towards helping advisors, and then at the end of the day, that then bleeds down to everything else, helping the individuals that they serve day in and day out. So, I'm not a are we there yet kind of person, because it's good for a company that aspires to continue to grow and be a meaningful and have a meaningful impact on the industry the way I think e-money does and will, if there's a single spot that you're going towards, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Matt, if you could kind of define the Harv Advice for us, how would you define it?
Sure. So I go back to our users, our advisors. I've had the great fortune to meet thousands of them over the years. And what is driven home in those conversations and in those interactions is how deeply they care about their clients. They put their heart and soul into those relationships. It's something that I've never experienced personally. I believe it to be such a noble profession. I'm envious as a non-practicing CFP of what they can create with those client relationships. And, you know, I think when you think more broadly around career paths, there is this term that's out there called helping professions. Mm-hmm. It's predominantly thought of as healthcare related fields, whether it's a nurse or a mental health counselor or a physical therapist. And there is nothing in my mind that better defines a helping profession than an advisor, than an advisor with financial planning as kind of their foundation. So when I think about the Harv Advice and thinking about how you define that, it's inextricably linked in my mind to our advisors and the passion and the heart that they bring to all of their client engagements. It's as an observer, it's something that's really great to see.
Well, Matt, thank you for 25 years at eMoney. So on behalf of eMoney, yeah. Thank you for your time. On behalf of the industry, thank you for your time. We really appreciate your contributions to the company and to the industry and to us personally.
Yes.
I thank you. I appreciate it. We should look for opportunities to talk like this more often. This is different, but different good. So thank you. Appreciate it.
The Heart of Advice podcast is produced by eMoney Advisor, a leading provider of technology solutions and services that help people talk about money. Learn more at eMoneyAdvisor.com, where you can find additional resources for advisor success, including the Heart of Advice blog, as well as eBooks, CE webinars, and events.